Hey.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys, it's Melanie.
Hey, it's me.
And this is Cool Hotties Only.
Cool Hotties Only.
I am not going to lie. I forgot that we changed our name.
You're like, what is she saying?
Yeah, Cool Hotties Only. Okay.
Where if you're a cool hottie, you only belong here.
That's right. Welcome to our cult, our MLM.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girlies.
Do you want to buy some frankincense from me?
You want a freaking shake?
Oh, God. So bad.
I thought about you the other day because I'm watching Orange is the New Black for the first time. Have you seen it?
I watched like the first two seasons.
I think we're on season 6, and there is an MLM part in there where one of the prisoners is out in the real world, and it's like NutriHealth is the name of the shakes, and this MLM is trying to get this prisoner to like be a boss babe, and she's like, fuck this.
I would sucks. Literally do that if I was in prison, though. I'd be like, what else do I have to do here?
I know, right? Truly.
Hey, guys.
Welcome back to the pod.
I did have a drink, but I've been having to pee nonstop, so I put it away. But it was LaCroix's new flavor, Beach Plum, which is so good. Ooh. Have you had?
Mm-mm.
Ugh, it's summer in a can.
I've heard that it's really, really good. Is it really, like, plummy or what?
Honestly, I'll be honest. I feel like LaCroix all genuinely tastes, not genuinely, generally taste kind of the same, except different. Mm-hmm. If you guys know what I'm talking about, especially if you're LaCroix haters, you're like, yeah, they all taste the same. But this one is special to me. And unfortunately, I did hear about it from Trisha Paytas. So I did buy it because of her. It's really good. What are you drinking?
I'm having a Brew Doctor kombucha, and the packaging on this one, it's like the normal like lavender flavor, but it's from their little Pride collection.
Oh, so
it's
God. Dude, all like the performative shit during Pride Month, it's like, thank you, but
I know
that TikTok, right? Hi, gay.
Oh my God, I can't. It's so funny because it's true. Like, as soon as July 1st comes around, we're like, okay, back to our normal colors.
Yeah, anyways, fuck the gays. Now.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for your money. See you in hell, you homos.
Yeah. I'll be there partying with my friends with you guys. Yeah. We can have a kiki.
Wow.
Yeah, I know terms.
She is a true ally.
I really am. So we never talked about the fact that I was in an ASMR video.
Yeah. Let's please.
So guys, we've talked about it, but me and Amanda are ASMR sluts. Mm-hmm. We love it. We'll do anything for it. I think I've said this, but Amanda was the one that introduced me to ASMR. Like one time I was in my old house, I'll never forget it. I was like, I can't fucking sleep. Because me and Amanda used to text every day, all day, 24/7. And she was like, here's a video. And it was this girl like brushing this girl's hair. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to come. And I did. I'm
just kidding. She did. And that's how she fell asleep.
Yes. Yep. Always. So I've been watching, what do you think that was, like, almost 10 years ago?
It was a long-ass fucking time ago.
Yeah. And so I always, like, I still watch ASMR, especially when I'm on, like, trips and I can't sleep in hotel rooms. I always put on ASMR. And this one girl I watch, she's like, hey, like, on Instagram, she's like, hey, DM me if you want to be an ASMR model. And I was like, oh, fucking course I do. So I messaged her and I, like, went to her apartment, and it's just funny because I told one of my friends and she was like, it's funny because we live in LA, so that's completely normal to be like, yeah, I'm going over to this girl's house to get my hair brushed for a video and we're gonna record it. Yeah. But she was like, if you were in like Idaho or something, they'd be like, what the fuck? I don't know how Idahoans sound, but
I don't know, they're like, Potato. Or wait, is it corn?
It's probably both.
I don't care.
We don't care about you, Idaho. So I went over to her house and she scratched my back and she brushed my hair and she whispered in my ear and it was like,
ooh.
It was everything I ever wanted except for the fact that I had to sit up straight and I have a fucking horrible back and I wasn't in a chair. I was sitting on her bed and oh my God, I was so embarrassed because I wore sandals and I was like, I'm about to put my fucking disgusting feet on this girl's bed and she doesn't even fucking know me. That's probably why she hasn't asked me to come over again. But it was so iconic and I don't want to brag, but it is the most viewed video on her channel. So,
ooh, there you go. I watched some of it. I was going to save it for a sleep time. But I'm like, is this weird? Is Adam going to look over when I'm finally asleep to turn off my phone? And he's like, that's Melanie.
Yeah, she recorded it just for me.
Yeah. But yeah, was it like even more relaxing in person, even though you did have to like sit up straight and not like,
you know? Because like there's a point where we switch angles and I have like my feet on the ground, but I'm still sitting up. And it was like, it really is way better when you're getting it done. It was like, because she was like so like tender with, and she was like, do you want me to like do a voiceover or do you want me to like whisper here? I was like, can you whisper here? She was so nice though, like super cool. And
yeah,
it's funny when you meet like ASMR people because you picture them being like, hi, how are you? But she was like, hey, what's up? Yeah. Like, super cool. So that was fun. Yeah, what's going on with your life?
Not much. My parents are here visiting. They've been here for a little over a week. We went to the Enchanted Forest, which is this, like, old kind of, I wouldn't call it an amusement park, but sort of in Oregon. It's, like, an hour south from Portland. And it's like kind of creepy and kitschy and weird, but it was my parents, me and Adam, and then Adam's siblings and their significant others and children. And that was like the first time my family met Adam's family in the like 8 years we've been dating. So that was interesting. Yeah, that was, I don't know. I haven't really been doing much else, I don't think.
Yeah, there's not much going on with us. I'm still working a lot, whatever. Guys, today is an exciting episode. We have our first guest. And it's kind of fun because if we like the guest vibe, we can have guests more on more often. And like, that's good for our brand because it's like cool hotties only. Like, we only allow cool hotties to be on our show.
So true. So true.
Today's guest is the one, the only Jeremy Ford. Jeremy is an actor, and he is in the new trilogy on Netflix, Fear Street, which are so good. And I'm not just saying that because I'm biased, because Jeremy is one of my best friends that I've known for like 14 years. Probably not as long as that. 12 years, who fucking knows, who fucking cares? And no, but for real, they're so good because they're like right up my alley. Like, I love a good cheesy horror 90s movie, but like, there's so many twists, there's turns, there's gay, there's
there's loop-de-loop.
There's what?
A loop-de-loop.
You do your loop-de-loop and pull.
Loop and pull.
And your shoes are looking cool. Woo! So I'm going to text him and bring him up here. And the next time you hear us, there will be a man in the room.
Ooh, don't get your panties in a bunch, ladies. And gaties.
Gaties! Okay, guys, we're back. He's here. It's Jeremy.
Hello.
Welcome,
I'm here.
Jeremy.
Thank you for having me. I'm actually nervous.
Me too.
Why?
I don't know. I think because, like, I you know, obviously I know Mel and I kind of know you a little bit. I don't know. I feel weird, but I'm happy to be here.
Okay. Do you want a shot or something?
Oh, that's a terrible idea.
Okay.
Then I won't be able to shut the fuck up.
No, one shot should be fine. So, how's life?
Good. Good. You know, it was a busy month, but the busyness is calming down and I'm happy about that. No complaints. How about you guys?
We're good. We both hate our jobs. And...
Yeah, true.
What do you do for work, Amanda?
I'm a virtual receptionist, and I answer for like every type of business ever. Most of them are attorney offices, which is pretty exciting sometimes, but a lot of them are like for real estate offices and shit like that. And I don't know if you guys have spoken with realtors before, but they're kind of fucking mean.
No,
for some reason.
I haven't had the luxury of dealing with a realtor yet because I'm not at that point of adulthood.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like I used to bartend, and where I bartended, it was like right across from a bunch of realtor offices and a bunch of lawyer offices. And the realtors were very like cheeseball-y and like very fake. And like the lawyers were just always so miserable and so depressed and so strung out on cocaine. So I get it.
Yeah.
Are they like car salesman type? Like sharks? Or are they like...
Like real estate agents?
Yeah.
No, they're just fucking rude because you're like, hey, what's your name? And they're like, they know who I am. And I'm like, I don't know who you are. This is not helpful. And I'm going to get in trouble because I don't know who you are. So please tell me your name, asshole.
So. Ew. It's like, you fucking sell houses. So many people do that, bitch.
I know, big whoop.
I had a couple of realtors, like, this was when I was bartending, and they sat at the bar, it was like happy hour or whatever, and they're like, hey, can I ask you a question? I'm like, yeah, dude, shoot, whatever. And they're like, are you a homeowner? And I was like, no. And they're like, how come? And I'm like, because I am not, and I just can't afford a home. And they're like, no, you can. Yeah. I'm like, no, I can't. And they're like, how much do you pay for rent? I'm like, well, that's a personal question, but sure, fuck it, I'll tell you. And I told them, and they're like, uh-huh. Man, we could get you in a house for like cheaper than what you pay for in rent and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't have enough for a down payment. And they kind of continue to like make me feel like shit for not owning a home.
Yeah.
Like, player, just enjoy your $4.25 vodka tonic and get out of here.
You know,
yeah, I know.
If you stopped buying avocado toast all the time, millennials could afford houses.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a house like kind of across the street from us that's like for rent right now. And I looked it up, and it's a very small house. I think it's a 2-bedroom, 1-bath, and it's going for like $1.6 million.
Oh, I was going to call and ask how much that was because it's like dilapidated.
Yeah, it's not a nice house and it's small. 2-bedroom, 1-bath. Like, a house has one bathroom. Why did they even build that house?
I know, right? I lived in a 1-bathroom before and I would never do that again. It was me and 3 other people and it was absolutely awful. And I feel so bad for people who only have a 1-bedroom or a 1-bathroom wherever they live, because it's like, what do you... I have to shit, you know?
Yeah, there should be
a... Someone's in the bathroom. What the fuck do you do?
The half bath should be for peeing. And then the full bath should be for shitting and farting.
Yeah, you know what? Let's start...
Duh.
Let's start like a... what's that thing called when you get people to sign it?
A petition.
Yeah.
What's that thing that people sign?
Let's start a petition. Everything should be 1.5-bath minimum.
Totally.
Okay.
It really should.
Where would I put...
Biden.
Where would I put my half bath?
In the closet.
Yeah, or just a urinal in the living room.
Okay, tell us about using a urinal, because that sounds so scary. Like, and like, what's the rule? Like, you're supposed to do one away from a dude, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's like an unofficial rule. That's like the nice thing to do, but I feel like you see that more on TV than it actually happens in real life. Like, people don't really care that much in real life.
Do people, like, when you're peeing, they're holding your schlong?
They're not holding my schlong. I'm holding my schlong.
Do they go like
They can. It's an open invite.
Do they just look like this? Like, sick.
I feel like I can only remember one time when someone, like, I felt like sort of leaned over and looked at my wiener. But it was only once in my whole, like, 29 years of life.
And do you guys, like, talk next to each other on the urinal?
Oh, heavens no.
What about, like, at a bar, like, drunk people?
I don't know. But again, because it was such a large chunk of my life, bartending, I would, like, go and, like, to the bathroom like in the middle of a shift, and like you'd find like everyone's like beer glass or their whatever they're drinking glass sitting on the urinal or sitting on the back of the toilet. It's like, first of all, you're at a restaurant, don't bring your glass into the thing. And then they just leave it there either intentionally or unintentionally, I don't know, but it's like the lack of respect in bar restrooms.
I bet men's restrooms in the bar are not fun, whereas like ladies rooms, everyone's palling around, and I just feel like that's something that you just miss out
on. Yeah, they weren't very inviting to me when I went to the women's restroom.
Get out of here, freak!
Ew, a man!
So, should mention that Jeremy lives right underneath me in our apartment.
Yeah,
so that's
her
really
floor
fun.
Is my ceiling.
And my floor is his ceiling. And tell the people how far we go back.
My earliest Melanie memory.
Oh, God.
I don't remember. I just know I was 16. I got kicked out of high school and I had to go to another high school. And that's where I met Melanie. That's where I met my wife, who is Beck. She went by Becky back then. And they were best friends, Becky and Melanie.
We were. Now we're mortal enemies.
I was. Here's the sort of common discrepancy we always have. Everyone thought I was like a gigantic asshole, apparently. And I got kicked out of school and had to go to a brand new school in a different town. I was so like nervous and shy. I was a terribly shy person. And I'm like, oh, it's going to be like the movies. I'm going to be sitting in the bathroom eating my sandwich alone. Luckily, everyone was like relatively nice, but I was so painfully shy. Apparently, I came off like a total asshole. What do you think?
Well, you hung out with like the people that were like douchey, but they were like the douchey, like, you know, they're so nice, but they're douchebags. Yeah, totally. Like, and that's fine. But then everyone found out that you were like, oh, he like tags stuff. Like, he's a tagger. Like, and also, okay, we have to remember, this isn't him just going to, like, another school. It's, like, a fucking private school. We had 90 people in our graduating class. Like,
holy shit.
So, like, also, everyone's always excited when a new kid comes because, like, no one ever goes to, like, a new fucking private school. So, like, we were all excited and everyone's like, oh, my God, he's so hot and mysterious. And then, yeah, I thought you were nice.
Oh, that's nice.
But I just remember seeing you at the Get Your Act Together
Day.
It was like a day called Get Your Act Together Day where you would like get your classes or something.
And like my mom went with me and I was like so painfully like not ready for that. It's like, I guess like I didn't really know. All the students were going to be there. I thought it was like just come and collect your books or something. And then I showed up with my mom and all my like new peers are there. And they're not with their moms. And I'm like, oh man, this is not a good start.
Yeah, but you did fine.
Yeah, no, it ended up being the best thing that ever happened.
Aw, sweet, because you met me.
Because I met Mel, yeah.
So were you at a public school before?
Yeah, I went to public school my whole life. And sophomore year, it ended up not working out. But at that school, it was like a gigantic public school. So there was like 1,000 kids in my graduating class. And then at Calvary, there was like, like 80 or 90. It was a kind of a culture shock.
Tell them about Skippy at your old school.
Oh, what did I get myself into on this podcast? This is a lot more loose than the other interviews I've been doing.
We can edit it out.
No, it's cool. I won't mention her name, of course. It's really
okay.
Sad.
I'm saying this because I feel like every high school had a rumor that was like kind of like this about someone.
So yeah, definitely. It's like okay. Everyone kind of has like this sort of Skippy brand or urban legend. This was like early middle school, like sixth grade. You know, we're like 12. It's like most people don't even know what sex is. I surely didn't. and there was a girl who was like super pretty, actually. Like, she was like, you know, being 12 years old, it's funny to say this, but she was like stunning. Like,
she was fucking hot for a 12-year-old.
She was a fucking
But she was like the girl, like she really could have had any guy, I feel like. But there was like this rumor, and apparently it wasn't a rumor, apparently it was true, but I guess everyone says that about rumors, that she, and this was in middle school, like 12, 13, she like put peanut butter on her vagina and had her like family golden retriever like lick it off.
You're like, her family licked it off?
yeah, and she had her aunts and uncles take turns. Okay, I'm sorry. It takes me longer to remember her real name than it does for me to remember like Skippy, which is sad. Like that's how damaging these rumors are.
My God, that's so sad, but that's so true, because I feel like there was a very similar rumor at my middle school. And at your school, did you guys have the talk about Marilyn Manson like removing his ribs to suck his own dick? Like, where the fuck did that come from, and why is that also a universal,
is that not true, because that's news to me.
I don't know. I think it. I don't know.
Google it right now.
You know, now that I'm using my critical adult brain, it's probably not true.
Yeah, but he's a character.
Well, yeah, isn't he like bad now? Right.
Yeah.
Because his girlfriend was. Like,
I'm not surprised at all.
His girlfriend is Evan Rachel Wood. I guess she said some things.
Oh yeah. What's the tea?
Yeah. So he did not get. He did not get his ribs removed. It's said that this rumor began December 27th, 1994.
Holy wow.
That's an old rumor. Why did we all learn about that in middle school? Is that because that's when we started learning about everyone fucking and being afraid?
Yeah, you know, I bet you even probably middle schoolers today are talking about Marilyn Manson.
No, they're talking about TikTokers.
Oh, sure.
They're like, damn, Trisha Paytas.
You know who that is? Okay. Oh, yeah. That's great. Jeremy doesn't know anything about the internet. He doesn't know how to use fucking social media.
Should I be speaking up into this thing?
No, it should pick
okay,
it up.
Okay, okay.
I'm envious of you. I wish I knew nothing about
the same.
I just know the stuff. I mean, Melanie saves like the funniest ones for me. So I
kind of
have
like,
this,
I
have this fantastic filter through Melanie.
Yeah. Okay. Let me get to these questions I wrote down. So, guys, Jeremy is an actor. And I mentioned that in the opening. He's in the new fucking amazing Netflix trilogy, Fear Street. And that's iconic. And
instantly iconic.
Yeah. It's a cult classic. It will be. People are going to watch it during fucking Halloween, their bat mitzvahs.
Mm, sure.
Christmas. Big bat mitzvah. Their yeah fucking racist parents are going to put it on. So when did you say like, I think I want to be an actor?
Good question. I didn't want to be an actor when I was a child. I feel like everyone around me that I know that like is an actor, they're like, oh man, from the moment I could speak, I was performing for my family and like, I just wanted to get eyeballs on me. And that was super not me. I already said I was painfully shy all the way until like my adulthood. I remember senior year, Miss J's class, we had to do like the Hamlet monologue.
Oh yeah.
We had to get up in front of the class. And I remember just being, I made a fool of myself because I was so nervous. I was like stuttering and I was like red in the face. And like, I didn't look up for my shoes. I really hated like attention in any way. But I was a terrible student and I didn't go to college. So I just was, you know, I hit the workforce as my dad made me do. And I was just working at the local mall because that's what you do when you're 18 and you have no direction in life. You work at Sunglass Hut.
Woo woo.
Shout out. Sunglass Hut.
We love you, Ray-Bans.
Yeah. I still love sunglasses to this day. And high school and working at the mall, they're basically the same thing, except working at the mall, you don't learn anything. But it's very much high school. Like, everyone around you is basically the same age. Everyone around you gets to know each other. Everyone hooks up. Everyone breaks up. There's drama. It's really exciting, kind of. And if you're 18 and you're listening to this and you don't know what to do with your life, work at the mall. Trust me.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Do yourself a favor. Work at Auntie Anne's.
I could go for a fucking Auntie Anne's right now.
Working at the mall, I you know, got to know a girl who worked at Charlie Subs in the food court. Shout out, Charlie Subs. And she's like, oh, you should watch Pretty Little Liars tonight. I'm going to be on it. And yeah, this is that era. And, you know, we grew up just like, you know, 90 minutes outside of L.A. And I was like, what are you talking about? That's so cool. And she's like, oh, I do background acting. Like, anyone can do it. Like, you should sign up. And I was like, absolutely. That sounds way better than slinging sunglasses. So I signed up with Central Casting just to be a background actor. And my very first job was on like CSI New York. And it was actually a sort of like the dream background acting experience because I showed up on set. It's like on this really cool sound stage and it was like super exciting. And there's just 1,000 people sort of buzzing around. And I loved it. I was like, well, this is incredible. I was sort of like instantly smitten by like, you know, movie making and TV making and stuff. And then like one of like the featured extras who is like one of the special ones, like, he was like in the bathroom or something and they were like looking for him, like, oh, where's, you know, where's this guy? And I was like, oh, that's me. And they're like, okay, come with us. So I kind of like I kind of stole his like featured extra role.
That's iconic.
And I ended up getting like really great like screen time and stuff like that. So that was like a good first experience. But then after that, like, background acting totally sucks and you're sort of like bottom of the barrel and you're treated like garbage. But I really like being on set and I'm like 19 years old and I never acted a day in my life, but for some reason I was like, you know what, I'm gonna be an actor, I'm gonna do it. And for some reason I just committed to it and got really serious about it really quickly. And yeah.
And was like your family supportive of like when you were like, oh, I'm gonna be an actor? Were they like, yeah sure, you're gonna be an actor?
They weren't not supportive, but I don't think they really thought I was gonna do it.
Yeah,
you know, like my family's always been
really
super supportive of like anything I wanted to do, but I think, especially in their minds, like the thought that me, who was like so like shy and awkward and stuff like that, was going to be an actor, they're like, oh, that's fun. Yeah, go for it. You know, we support you. But I don't think they actually knew how serious I was. And, you know, I think like the day I turned 25, my dad called me and he's like, so you're still doing this acting thing, huh? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, okay, cool. I just wanted to, you know, double check. I support you. I'm like, oh, thank you. But yeah, it, like, it literally took that long for them to kind of think I was serious about it.
25? Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
And you were living here, right?
Dang. Yeah. Yeah, I had already moved.
Yeah, to like LA, living yeah. in LA to do it. He's like, oh, so, that's a really good impression of your dad.
Thanks.
Like, cool. That's rad. Okay. He's probably going to listen to this.
Yeah, he is.
Hi, Matt. Love you.
But also, I don't blame them because living in LA, you're just constantly barraged with people who are like supposedly pursuing acting, but like none of them are serious about it. Like I always say, like, people want to be actors, but they don't necessarily like acting, you know. Like, people just want to be movie stars,
famous.
Like, yeah, like very few of these people actually enjoy acting, so I get it.
Yeah, my memory of acting with you is like me and Becky and you went down to LA in your shitty shit car.
I totally remember this.
And I was in the back reading like what to expect for your first audition, and like
you Googled it or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And like we made a fun day out of it, and like he like had his fucking resume with his headshot, and he was like, okay, I'm going in. And me and Becky were like, go get him.
I remember because we stopped at that Chase Bank on Santa Monica Boulevard. Do you remember that?
Sure.
Because wasn't the audition like at CASD, like,
which I just remember a Smart and Final was
by. Yes. Okay, yes, exactly. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and like I had like my headshot, which, you know, my friend, oh no, you took on my driveway, I think.
Oh yeah.
You took it on my driveway. And it was a resume that was completely fabricated. Like, it had like 20 or 30 things on there that I completely made up.
Like, what was one of your funny skills that you put? Something about plates?
Yeah, I could spin plates on my fingers.
You know, if you ever need that in a movie, let me know.
Yeah. I have a really hard time taking things like that seriously. Even my resume still, I think, has like dumb stuff. Like I think it's like special skills. They're all very serious. It's like motocross, skateboarding, guitar, drums. I can hold a car tire straight over my head for 30 seconds. You know, my dad can run faster than yours.
And during those times, you got a lot of rejection.
Sure.
So how... And Jeremy is one of the literal biggest inspirations in my life for, like, going after whatever the fuck you want, but going, like, 110. But that had to, like, wear down at you at some point to, like, not be getting any roles. So, like, how did you, like, overcome rejection? Or have you overcome rejection? Or, like, what is, like, good advice for, like, in life for, like, continuing to do something because you, like, love it?
Well, first I'll circle back and say that's very nice that you find me remotely.
I tell you that every day.
I know, but it's really hard to believe. But I do believe you, and it's very nice. Honestly, I think maybe a lot of other actors have this in common, but it's definitely a lot of, like, disillusionment. Like, if that's a word, disillusionment? Sure. Giddy up. Oftentimes, like, in those first, like, several years of, like, not getting the job, you tell yourself, like, they don't even know what they're missing. What a mistake they made. So part of it was that, like, just to keep myself going, I guess. And, I don't know, rejection in Hollywood isn't what people think it is, and it wasn't what people sort of, like, geared me up for, because when I started pursuing it, everyone would be like, oh, get ready to, you know, face a lot of rejection, get ready to hear no 1,000 times, get ready to have the door slammed in your face. And I sort of, like, mentally prepped for that as much as possible, but rejection in Hollywood is you go in and you do the audition, and the casting director goes, oh my God, that was incredible. Wow. Oh, so where did you study? Oh, wow. Oh, are you available these dates? Incredible. Thank you so much. And then you leave and you go, oh, fuck, that went really well. And then the phone doesn't ring. But every audition is that. Like, no one says, to be honest, we weren't feeling it. Or, oh, to be honest, we just don't think you're right for it. I wish they would say that.
Yeah.
I would kill for some real-time rejection.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, you just sort of get used to, you know, the phone not ringing, which is fine. And I don't know. I guess for me, it was just... I started writing on the side, just, you know, writing scripts and stuff, just sort of for fun and to fill the time, and, you know, making short films with our friends, like Johnny and Isaac, my sort of two, like, best guy friends who are also actors. And, you know, Mel's been in a couple of them. Shout out. Yeah, I just, I don't know, like, in, you know, at a certain point, I was like 5 or so years into, like, being a serious actor. I'm like, I can't turn back now, because what a waste of time that would be.
Yeah, and I remember you saying something, like, a long time ago, where you're like, you can't have a plan B. Because then you'll always, like, know that you have something to fall back on.
Yeah, that's true. I do, like, believe that. I think if you have a plan B, that's sort of allowing a window of failure to sort of exist in your life.
I was going to say, do you feel like, especially working in customer service as a bartender, having to deal with not only like assholes, but drunk assholes and stuff like that, that made you have a thicker skin or like certain expectations about people and how to go through life in general?
Absolutely, actually. Like, because, you know, auditioning for all these years and like not getting the good jobs and while also like serving and bartending, it sort of like aided in like my attitude of eventually just being like, you know what, like fuck this town, fuck this industry, like I don't care, like I'm still gonna pursue acting, but it's like I'm not gonna do it your way, I'm gonna do it my way. And I think bartending did play a huge part in that.
Yeah.
And you know, funny enough, that's when I started like booking the good jobs, I guess. Like once I stopped trying to be what mm-hmm. they wanted, and it was more like, I'm gonna come in, I'm gonna do this my way, if you like it, great, if you don't, that's okay. I guess that's when things started to get better, you know?
Yeah.
That's iconic.
That's so rewarding too, especially because you're doing the work that you want to do, and it's like, when you're accepted in that sort of role, that's so especially rewarding because you're being authentic.
And I think that's really important for anyone pursuing like, you know, arts as like a career,
yeah.
You know, like one, it does take a sort of decade to start paying your bills with it. But in that decade, like you're going to mm-hmm. go through those waves of being like, oh, I got to do what the people like. Oh, I got to do what consumers like. I got to do what whatever it is. You know, in my case, it was the casting directors and the directors. And that doesn't work. That's like, that's gross mm-hmm. and yucky. And nobody likes that. Nobody wants that, you know? And it just, at least for me, it really took like 8 years to learn that.
I could never. I would give up right away. They'd be like, you're five. I'm being stupid.
You're so dumb.
He's always like, I'm always like, I want to be an actor. And he's like, you could do it right now. I'm
anybody like, could do it. I really think that.
Yeah.
Like, again, I had never acted a day in my life. Yeah. I wasn't like naturally inclined as an actor. It's not like I started and I was like, whoa, I'm a natural. No, I sucked, you know? And for me, it was just like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I really enjoyed it even though I sucked. And I was like really sort of inspired by my suck, you know? I'm like, I want to get good at this thing.
Totally.
You know? Yeah, you
yeah,
could.
Melanie, you could fucking
hey,
do it.
I will.
Yeah.
See me on Broadway.
Wow.
I do want you to tell everyone like a shortened version of when you went to the Plan B studios.
Okay, I can tell that one. Yeah.
And tell them what Plan B is if they don't know.
Plan B is Brad Pitt's production company. And again, this is more oh. it's more of a testament to like how disillusioned I was. But you know, you first get started acting and you're like, oh, what do I do? Oh, Brad Pitt has a production company. Cool, maybe I'll like go and like introduce myself or something. So stupid in hindsight. but I looked up like the address for it and it's available online. And Leonardo yeah. DiCaprio also has a production company. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to. This is back when I was living in Menifee still. I'm just going to drive up and, you know, give them like a headshot and resume and a DVD with like my demo reel on it. That'll work. So I drove up one day and I was probably 19 or 20. I just started out and again, really sucked at acting, but I didn't know that really at the time. And I go to Plan B and it's this really cool building in West Hollywood, like on Wilshire. And I have like my headshot and a resume in a little folder and I have like a little DVD tucked in there. And, you know, I think I'm hot shit and I'm sort of like, carrying myself and projecting the fact that I'm hot shit. And I show up and it's like, you know, there's a security guard. I'm like, hey, you know, I'm here to go to Plan B. And my confidence sold him and I got past security and I went to the front desk at the receptionist. And she's like, oh, can I help you? I'm like, yeah, you know, my name's, you know, Jeremy. I'm here to see, you know, Dede Gardner and Brad Pitt. And she's like, okay, go ahead and sign in right there. I'm like, all right, cool. You know, I sign in. And, you know, you're looking at the list of people that signed in. The name right above mine was Jessica Biel. And she was there like 15 minutes ago. Oh. And I'm like, I'm sort of panicking, but I'm like, I'm keeping my cool. I'm like, all right, whatever. I probably have like sunglasses on indoors. Like I'm really like leaning into it. And I sign in and I sit down and they're like, all right, cool. We'll take you right up. And we go in the elevator and they take me up. And I at this point, I just sort of like, I'm like, I don't know what to do, you know? And they take me to the office and there's like another front desk person that actually works at Plan B. And mm-hmm. they're like, oh, can I help you? I'm like, oh, I'm just dropping this off for Brad Pitt and Dede Gardner. And they're like, oh, okay, great. So I hand them my headshot, my resume, my little DVD. And then I left, but I did that at Leonardo DiCaprio's place and Brad Pitt's place. It amounted to nothing, but.
But oh didn't you like stumble onto like a meeting or something? Like a.
Yeah, order? That was, I did the same thing at CAA, which is like one of the biggest agencies in town. And I cheated my way all the way to like this board meeting by accident. And I sat there for about 90 minutes listening to a board meeting. And then I left, and then the security kind of kicked me out. But
oh my god.
Yeah.
That is just so cool. Like, if you have confidence and act like you fucking know what you're doing, you can probably get into any place you want.
But it's also really scary because it's like, so luckily I'm like a normal person. I'm not looking to like, you know, wear someone's skin. But
oh yeah,
anyone could do what I did, which is scary.
You're not scary.
Not yet.
You're just a white man. You can get anywhere you want.
Yeah.
What's my next question? Who's your biggest acting inspiration / director?
That has evolved over the years. If I'm being dead honest with you, and Melanie already knows this, when I first started out, I was like, I'm like, I want to be like Zac Efron. I was like, I loved Zac Efron. Like, no shame, you know? Like,
we all do. We all love him.
I saw 17 Again on my 17th birthday in theaters. And this was like pre me wanting to be an actor and like still in high school. And it changed my life. I'm like, yeah, dude. Like, I... Because in high school, it's like I dressed like in how my friends dressed, and it didn't feel like authentically me. But watching that movie 17 Again, I'm like, that's how I feel like I should be dressing. Like, that felt like who I was on the inside. And that movie gave me the confidence to like ditch all my clothes, go buy new ones. And like, I showed up at school and people were like, why are you wearing this like this flannel with these weird like pants and these weird shoes? Like, who do you think you are, you know? So when I first started, I really wanted to be Zac Efron. Very quickly, like, I wanted to be like Leonardo DiCaprio, but I guess as I've gotten further into acting, I really like, I guess, more character-y type actors, you know, like, I really like Christian Bale a lot. That's sort of an obvious one.
Mm-hmm.
But guys like Ben Foster, who, you know, a lot of people don't know his name, but you've seen him in a bunch of things, and he's really scary, and he always plays like villainous type roles.
Where have we seen him? Because I don't know that name.
You've seen Hell or High Water, right? No,
I know. Oh, you keep telling me to watch it.
Have you seen Hell or High Water, Amanda?
She don't watch shit. Okay. She watches RuPaul's Drag Race.
I think he was on that.
I love that.
He's a great actor. You should look him up. He's been in a lot, but he always plays like very like unsettling, sort of like villainy, like really shitty type guys. And apparently that's like, I guess, what I do now. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I really look up to like tons of actors. Like, I love Ryan Gosling. I still love Brad Pitt. I think Jonathan Majors, who's coming up right now, he's really cool, and I think he's really, really well-wounded.
Willy well-wounded. Wait, where's he
Willy
from?
Willy well-wounded.
Jonathan Majors, he's the last black man in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's in Lovecraft Country, and then he was just in Loki, actually, that show Loki.
Heard of him?
Yeah, he's really impressive, actually. I'd love to work with him.
Did you find Ben Foster?
I looked him up, and his face looks extremely familiar. Is he... Well, can you see?
He looks kind of familiar. I think he was in 30 Days of Night.
Yes, he was.
Oh.
Is he still married to Laura Prepon?
I think so.
Is he still married to
She's
Laura
She's like
Prepon?
A Scientologist.
Oh, no. We don't support Scientology in this show. We don't. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Scientology is a bit scary.
Oh.
I think I have this conversation every day.
Jeremy has fucking Scientology tea.
Yeah.
Scientology T.
Scientology T.
Scientology. There we go. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, I do have a Scientology story. Yes, they did. They tried to catch my soul, and they almost succeeded. And this is actually like that day I went up to sign up for Central Casting when that girl told me to go sign up. They poached me outside of like the background acting place, and they're like, "Hey, you want to come to this thing tomorrow, like a acting seminar?" I'm like, "No, thank you." And they're like, "Oh, like, wait, hang on. Like, we like your look. What are you doing right now?" I'm like, you know, I don't know, nothing. And they're like, "Oh, you know, the guy that holds the seminar, we think he'd really like you. Like, you've got such a great look. Like, are you trying to be an actor?" I was like, "Yeah, sure." And they're like, "Oh, you should come. He'd probably love to meet you. Let's call him and see if he's available." I'm like, "All right." They call him and he's like, "Oh, yeah, you know, come on over." So like, "Oh, just here's his address. Like, go meet with him. Like, be there as soon as you can." I'm like, "Okay." At this point, I'm like, bro, making it in Hollywood is so easy. Oh, my gosh. And then I drive up to this, like, weird mansion on, like, Sunset Boulevard. And I pull into this parking lot, and, like, a security guard comes up to me. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to get kicked out or whatever. And he's like, "Are you Jeremy?" I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Oh, come with me." I was like, what is going on? And he brings me into this building. And it's sort of like the back entrance. So I can't see. Like, there's like, signage on the front, but I'm on the back. And they bring me into this like weird library, and there's like all kinds of like posters with like inspirational like phrases and like walls of like books I'm kind of just sitting there. I'm a dumb kid. I'm like 19. I'm like, yeah, this is cool, man. Like, I'm gonna be, you know, Tom Cruise. This is awesome. Yeah. Little did I know, they want me to be Tom Cruise. Yeah. And like, this guy brings me into his office. Really nice guy, actually. Like, so charismatic, so nice. And he's basically telling me he's gonna like make all my like acting dreams come true that I didn't have until that day. And he's like, can you sing? I'm like, no. He's like, oh, man, if you could sing, I'd get you on Glee next week. He's like, I know all the Disney casting directors. Like, they're going to eat you up. I just want to make sure you can act, you know, like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, definitely. He's like, you try to, like, take some seminars, take some courses with us. He's like, try to sell me on this, like, $1,000 thing. I'm like, ah, dude, I don't have any money. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he sort of talks me into, like, trying to do these classes. And I'm like, I don't have money. He's like, okay, how much money do you have? I'm like, I literally have $100. And he's like, okay, I'll tell you what. Take the classes. I'll give it to you for free. You do all the seminars for free. Blah, 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 blah. The only thing you have to pay for are the books that we don't have. You just have to, like, we have to order them online. And it's about $100. I'm like, all right, whatever, dude. Yeah, sure. I'll give you my $100. And I give it to him. And he's like, okay, cool. I'm not filling out all these forms. You know, it's like name and address. I'm signing my life away. And it got to the point where I'm, like, trying to, like, sign my name on the dotted line. And I'm like, oh, this just feels weird for some reason. Like, I have this weird, like, gut feeling. And I can't sign my name for some reason. I'm like trying to talk myself into it. I'm like, dude, just sign it. It's not a big deal. Like, whatever, dude, just sign it. And like, my hand won't move. And I'm like, and then I start asking a bunch of questions. And I find out it's like a Scientology thing. And I find out I'm in the Celebrity Center, which is like a big Scientology sort of thing on Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh shit, like, I got to get out of here. I'm like, you know, I think I want to think about this. I think maybe I should talk to my parents. But if I could just get my $100 back, that'd be great. And he's like, sorry, I already put it in the safe. Like, you can't have it back.
I don't know the combination.
Oh my god! Yeah,
and I'm like, I understand. I'm so sorry I wasted your time. Because I talked to the guy for like 2 hours, maybe. I'm like, I'm so sorry I wasted your time. Wow. But if I could just get my money back, like, my dad's gonna be really upset with me if I come home without that money. And he's like, nope, sorry. And I'm like, yeah, this $100 means a lot to me right now. Sir, I need that money. He's like, no. And we like got into like a very verbal altercation. We're like yelling at each other. This guy's like 40 and he's like yelling at a 19-year-old kid. And finally he like goes into his safe and he grabs my $100. He like throws it at me and I sort of yank it out of the air and I get the fuck out of there. And I still get mail from Scientology to this day, like a decade
later. To his fucking dad's house. He gets fucking, like, yeah. We would check the mail and there'd be like a magazine from Scientology.
Yeah, they managed. I've lived in like 4 different addresses since, and they've managed to find me every time, but
oh my god,
it's not hard. They have fucking PIs everywhere.
Once I found out I was in like this like Scientology's Celebrity Center thing, the feelings inside of me were like unreal. I was like panicked.
I would be so scared, but you almost made it.
Scientology?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
We almost lost you.
I would have had success way earlier on.
Oh.
what do I have? What's like your dream role that you would want to play?
Man, I don't know.
Is that like too bit broad of a question?
Yeah, I feel like I've done this for too long, and I was desperate for too long to like have like a dream role. Now I'm just happy to be working.
Yeah.
I guess like a dream project is kind of like the one we're working on now, which is like, you know, we when the pandemic first hit, you know, Beck and I, we sat down, we started writing a script kind of just for fun, and we ended up getting really serious about it, and we ended up really liking the script that we wrote. And at the beginning of this year, we got it financed by like 2 really lovely financiers, which is, that's kind of a dream come true on its own. And now we're going to start shooting that in October, which is kind of cool.
Okay. Tell us about that.
So we started writing it, like I said, when the pandemic first hit, because all of a sudden we had all this free time and we didn't know what to do with it. And the pandemic just kept going, so we ended up devoting like 10 months to like writing the script. And at first we were like trying to write like a romantic comedy, but it ended up being way more of a drama. And I ended up just sort of like, you know, it's sort of a through line with me and all my friends. Like, we're all like sort of like young, sensitive, for lack of a better term, artists, I guess. And there seems to be like a huge divide between like us and our dads, who were like more blue collar, more sort of like gruff, hardworking, like don't show vulnerability types. So we really started to like explore that idea in our script, like that sort of divide between father and son. And it is like a father-son drama. Yeah, and it's called Way Down Bundy. And now we got financed and we like hired some producers to help us make it. And we have a really fantastic director, really badass cinematographer, and we have a casting director, and we're actually going to start casting like right now. And we have very high hopes to, you know, get like a cool name actor to play my dad. And, you know, we're going out to some really fantastic people to play my sister and to play my best friend. And yeah, it's like, you know, it's kind of taking up every minute of every day right now, but in an exciting
way. That's so cool. That's so special. I would like feel like I'm on cloud nine every single day if I got to do a project like that.
Yeah, it's really easy to get like swept up in like the stress of it, because it's like, it's so stressful and it's so hard to make a movie. But no doubt, like at least once a day, like I step back and I go, wow, this is crazy that this thing we started writing like only a year ago, like we got like the money to make it. And it's like, yeah, we feel, it's very surreal. Like we're so sort of smitten with how the universe has smiled on us.
That's very exciting. And I'm going to be working on it too.
So. Yep, Mel's going to be a huge help on it.
I'm going to be the duct tape girl.
I love it.
And I bring the coffee. I'm the bitch.
Hey, we all got to start bitch.
Somewhere. Am I
no
right?
No one on a film set is the bitch.
Unless you want to be the bitch.
The prison bitch.
Yeah. Very important role.
I'm hungry. When are we getting food?
It's so early.
I'm so hungry. Wait, it's 5 already.
Yeah, but look how high the sun is still.
You're right.
It's basically noon.
Okay, so Fear Street.
Oh, sure.
Was that fun?
Yeah, it was all right.
So, did you have a good time
did
or
you
a
drink
bad time?
Awesome shooters and listen to awesome music and just soak up each other's awesomeness?
What is What's that from?
You know it. Think it's like a teen cult classic. Tina Fey,
you know it,
produced it.
Mean Girls?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Good job.
I mean, you really spoon fed it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's produced a lot of things.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Okay, so you filmed in Georgia.
Yeah.
And you're in two of the movies.
Yeah, Fear Street, very wonderful trilogy based on the books written by R.L. Stine, you know, same guy that wrote Goosebumps. And he actually wrote Fear Street before he wrote Goosebumps in like the sort of late 80s, early 90s. And Fear Street was, you know, more driven towards like the teenagers, where Goosebumps was like kind of like more kiddie. But, you know, the Fear Street movies, they really like sort of elevated that. And they made really fun, like rated R horror movies out of, you know, this book series that apparently was beloved by tons of people. I didn't read it, but being on the other side of it, apparently very popular books. And yeah, three different movies, and they have, it's three different time periods, but they all take place in the same city, which is the fictionalized Shadyside, Ohio. And you're sort of going back in time to get to the root of why this town, Shadyside, is cursed by the witch, Sarah Fear. And yeah, really fantastic movies. I'm super honored and proud to be a part of them. And it was definitely the most wild experience of my life. And yeah, it was the first time I felt like this decade of sort of slaving over this acting thing really paid off in a big way. And now the movies are already out on Netflix. Yeah, I'm considering it a success.
Okay, so, like, how have, like, the fans reacted? Because you started with 500 Instagram followers.
Yeah.
And now you have 16,000 in a month.
People on Instagram have been super nice about the Fear Street movies, because I play a real sort of asshole kind of guy. And everyone's been really nice, which is nice. I thought maybe I would get a lot of hate, but that didn't happen, which is great.
Yeah, like, a lot of people are saying, like, mm-hmm. I hate the character, but I love the actor.
Yeah.
Because I send Jeremy all these TikToks that were made about him, and people are like, oh my god, he's so pretty. Oh my god, he's well, so hot. I love him.
It is funny because like the main story, I mean, it's a really like fantastic queer love story that takes place over, you know, three different time periods. And the main character, who is gay, is like hiding her sexuality by dating me, you know. So, and I'm like the asshole football player.
Yeah, I'm the beard.
But like I'm like I'm the epitome of what it's like to be, you know, like a 1994 bigot. So that being said, there's like this small sect of people on Instagram that are like, oh, you know, like my character's name is Peter and my girlfriend's name is Sam, and it, oh, you know, Peter and Sam forever. I'm like, what are you talking about? I like deep, like there's a sliver of me that's like, that's nice that I'm a part of that and you want me to like be with the girl. But also, no, I'm playing such a shithead character. Like, no, Sam should be with Dina, like the person she actually has feelings for.
Amanda, what was the question that you wanted to ask him about filming that one scene?
How'd you feel having to grab an ass? Because I would be so scared and laughing all the time. I was like, whoa,
that's not Becky.
Well, it's funny because it looks like such a small thing on camera, but like filming it then, I'm like, okay, you know, as an actor, I try to like go for it and commit and, you know, I always, I've done like intimate scenes and stuff like that, but with Olivia who plays Sam, I'm like, oh, just sorry in advance for, you know, squeezing her ass. And obviously she's a professional singer, whatever, just let it rip. So like take number one, you know, I went for what I thought was like a really effective butt grab and they're like, oh, cut. And there's like 200 extras around and Lee, the director's like, she's like, what the hell was that? Like, no, give her a real like ass squeeze. I'm like, was that not real?
Oh,
she's like, no,
God.
That looked like nothing. And like the next one, I would really go for it. She's like, more. And I'm like, I'm choking her butt. Like it's like I'm like drowning a toddler, you know? Like, and she's like, no, more. And I'm like, I feel like I'm actually like hurting her at this point. And I'm like, I'm fucking hanging on to this thing, you know? And finally she's like, all right, that was it. Good. Moving on. And I watched it on screen and it really looks like nothing, but like, I know I'm hanging on to it for dear life.
That, and it like obviously wasn't awkward because it's like work, or was it like awkward at first?
No, it was only awkward because I'm like, are you okay? Like, am I hurting you? She's like, no, no, it's fine.
She's like, it's a Tuesday.
I had a question. When was this filmed? Was this before COVID?
Yeah, it was 2019. I think we started filming in like March, and then they filmed all three all the way through like September, I think, maybe August. Yeah.
And it was like supposed to come out in 2020, right?
Yeah. Yeah, supposed to be in theaters in 2020, and then, you know.
Are you glad that it came out on Netflix instead of theaters?
Initially, now? I was like bummed.
Yeah.
Because like the romantic in me like wanted it to be like in theaters, like on the big screen, you know. But pretty quickly, I was like, no, okay, you know, like Netflix is like the biggest studio and the biggest platform in the world. Like very quickly, I was like, okay, this is going to be the best thing that ever happened to Fear Street, because it's so similar to Stranger Things in a way. Like it, like the Stranger Things fan base is already on Netflix. And sure enough, I think that was mm-hmm. right. Like I think it really hit that same vein as far as like fandom, and Netflix was the best platform for these movies.
Yeah. And it, like, especially now, like movie theaters are still like kind of closed in some places. So, and like everyone has a fucking Netflix account. It's just way more like accessible, which is better for you, better for everyone, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, it was really brilliant for Netflix and Lee, our director, to decide to do them 1 week apart, you know, all in like July. I think that alone was sort of like headliny and like very interesting and sort of groundbreaking.
What was like the funnest scene to film?
Oh, man, there are some really good ones. I mean, in 1994, I really liked that football stadium like brawl scene, because that was like a big overnight shoot, and it's like it was such like a technical like choreographed thing. But you know, at one point it was like 4 or 5 in the morning, and like the sun was about to come up, and they're like, oh shit, we're losing our sort of like our darkness. Once the sun comes up, we're screwed. And it was like this big choreographed fight scene kind of got boiled down to like, all right, just fuck it, we're gonna let the cameras run, just don't hit each other in the face, but make it look good. And it was so much fun. Like it, I guess like the kid in me, it felt like making movies with your friends like when you're a kid, you know. So that was really fun. In 1666, I really enjoyed that whole experience because, you know, 20th Century Fox, who was the studio who originally did this, they built this gigantic 17th century village for us out in the woods in Atlanta. And we were just in this, like, village every single day. And it was, like, the most, as an actor, it was just, like, so easy to, like, buy your circumstances because you're in this village and you're in the clothes and you're there for 14, 15 hours a day in the, you know, 100-degree heat. You start to lose your mind a bit, but it was, like, kind of fun. Like, I kind of liked it's easy to get swept up in the scene a bit.
And, like, you're kind of, like, supposed to lose your mind in that movie, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I definitely play another shithead character
like
in that
one.
Like,
when it goes a little crazy.
Yeah, okay, I see what you're saying. Respect, yeah.
No spoilers.
Oh.
Okay. That's fun. What? Okay, last question about acting. What, like, advice would you give to actors who are just starting out? Like, want to be an actor? Move to LA?
No, you know, like, I heard this advice a lot when I was, like, first starting out. And it sounded really harsh. And I didn't really like the advice back then. But now, I guess, being on this side of it, it makes sense. And the advice that I always got was, like, if you could do anything else with your life and, like, pay your bills, you should absolutely do it. And it sounds like really disheartening advice. But I get it. Like, there was nothing else I really wanted to do or could do. Like, I didn't have, like, a skill set, and I just, like, I made acting my skill set. And now there's really nothing else I could do. And I love acting. I love it so much. But if there's anything else that you, like, enjoy doing or you like doing, or is there anything else that you love doing, just do that. Like, because I've suffered for a decade. Serving tables, bartending, barely making my bills, going out for 10,000 auditions and not getting one of them. Why would you do that to yourself if you could do anything else? And then the other advice is, if you actually do like acting, yeah, move to LA, just stick around. Like, everyone gives up too soon. I've seen so many people throw in the towel and move home after, like, a couple years, and I get it. It's hard, it's miserable, but
expensive.
Man, if you just stick it out a little bit longer than everyone else, it will pay off.
That's, like, Amanda's thing right now, is, like, stuck in her shitty job, but she's gonna go to tattoo school in April.
Oh, cool.
So that'll be sick.
Oh, you're such a good artist. That's a great idea.
Stop, she's gonna cry.
Thank you.
No, you, I mean...
Oh, yeah, you drew the fucking...
They commissioned you to do the Way Down Bundy thing, which is, like... It was honestly the most touching gift I've ever received. But, like, your art is, like, so widely loved. And, like, we sent it to our financiers that are giving us the money to make the movie. And they love it. And, like, now they want t-shirts. And it's, like, yeah, that was, like, really special.
That's
awesome.
We're
going to get a bunch. Aww. And then we'll all stand in them like this.
Yeah, you're a great artist. You're going to make a great tattoo artist, too.
She needed that. Jeez. She needed that.
I love that. I think that's so cool.
Yeah, and exciting. I'm going to be her canvas.
In April, you said?
Yeah, I'm going to start school in April at the latest. I'm really excited because, not to make this about...
No, I'm so, all, like, but, go on.
Have a plan to... I'm quitting my job. If I start school in April, it might be sooner than that. At the end of February, so I have a month off to do nothing, no work, no school, and to enjoy life with no responsibility for the first time since, like, high school. And then I think the process in Oregon is, I think it's, like, only 500 hours or something for school. And then just going to say fuck you to a corporate job and making art. And, yeah, it's exciting.
That's so exciting. Like, my hat's off to you for, like, I think about it regularly for some reason. Like, how nerve-wracking it is to do tattoos on people. I mean, like, you're so good. And I know, like, you're going to be way better off than I would ever be. But, like. The window of, like, the chance that you could mess up on someone scares the shit out of me.
Well, here's the thing. I feel like because I also used to do hair, I didn't go to college. Dude, club, no college. All the best people don't go to college.
Okay, I'm not doing shit with my fucking English degree, so it's fine.
But, like, so I went to school for hair, and I feel like when you're an expert in what you do, it's so easy for you to see mistakes that nobody, like, the common person won't see. You know what I mean? And I feel like tattoo artists probably make way more mistakes than we think, but we just don't see it, or we aren't as critical because we don't know what to look for to find flaws.
That's true.
You're probably so right. But also, like,
I
would imagine, because a lot of the work I've seen of yours is, like, you're a digital artist, right? Like, you do it, like,
I do digital and paint with watercolor.
Your hand is probably so, like, smooth and effective. I'm super not worried. You could tattoo me. Oh my god, that would
thanks.
Be
dude.
You
and Adam need to come down here, or I mean, we could go to Portland, but
we are actually talking about going to California.
Yes. Wait, come for my birthday. Wait, I'm probably going out of the fucking country, remember?
Where are you going?
I don't know yet. The world is my
oyster.
Oh, yeah, 30th birthday.
Yeah, you, me, and Seth are all going to make ours into one.
That's a good idea.
So we don't have to go on three different trips.
Yeah.
Because we don't have that much
When's
money.
Your birthday, Jeremy?
It's in April, April 22nd.
He's a Taurus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, like, right by Seth's birthday, right?
Yeah, he's like 5 days later.
April?
Yeah, he's an Aries. What do you think of a Taurus man?
We're sister signs, because I'm a Scorpio. I love Tauruses. I get along with them really, really well. They're, like, the chill that Scorpios need.
Yeah, my wife's a Scorpio.
Yep.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I think I get along with Scorpios very well.
Yeah, I do too. They're my soulmates.
Yeah, I love Pisces too.
Really, you're Pisces?
She's a freaking fish.
Adam is a Pisces.
Yeah, I love that. Sensitive babies.
Okay, let's get to the would you rathers.
Oh boy, howdy.
We're all going to answer these. Would you rather get your wisdom teeth pulled out or get your butt cheeks pierced?
I'd rather get my butt cheeks pierced.
Really?
I still have my wisdom teeth because I don't even want to, like, think about that.
Me too.
Hey, yeah.
Well, I have my wisdom. Scary. I have my wisdom teeth pulled, and I would rather get my wisdom teeth pulled.
I think there's a government conspiracy, and they want to pull your wisdom teeth out. Yeah. See, me and Amanda, we have this like elevated wisdom now. We're sort of like more savvy to what the government's up to because we kept our.
Are
wisdom
y'all
teeth.
Anti-vaxxers?
What's a vax?
What's a vax?
Jeremy is vaccinated, everyone. This is a hard one. Would you rather know when you were going to die or how you were going to die?
When?
Why? Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah, because if you know how but not when, whatever that how is, you're going to be tripping out for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
But when, it's like, that's fine. That's like later. I'll deal with it then.
Yeah, and then you could like live your fucking life until the date.
The day comes. Like, whatever. I don't know how this is happening, but
yeah,
like,
I would sit in my apartment on the last day. Hopefully I just die in my sleep.
Oh, that'd be so chill.
Ugh, we suck. What would you pick, Amanda?
I think both would drive me bananas because I would be like looking out for the thing that's going to kill me. Like if it's if I get like in an airplane crash or something, like I'd like, I never want to go on an airplane again. Yeah. Or is like, is this the one that's going to kill me? But I think I would probably want to know when too. So I can have a timeline of like, okay, I have to get this done then. But
the biggest downfall to when is like, if let's, I don't know who's giving you this information. Let's say it's, you know, the
devil
lizard that lives in the sky. You know, he's like, it's next week. And then you're like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have known that now. Cause that's like so soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
No, I still would pick one.
Yeah, me too. I would rip for the next week.
I would fucking walk down the street naked and act like a loon.
That's how you want to spend your last week?
You can do that in Portland. You are allowed to be naked in public as long as you're not aroused or trying to arouse someone.
Wow.
Nothing covering your dick.
Yeah, tits out. We have something called the naked bike ride where people just like go on bikes and they're with their wieners and their titties out, just woo, yeah. That's
good
fun.
For them. I really admire that, actually.
I think it's funny. Like, when I worked at a barber shop for some time in Portland as a receptionist, and I remember just, like, looking out the window and everyone, like, yeah, everyone's on the bikes. But the naked bike ride happened here recently, and I saw somebody post on their Instagram story. I don't know if it's like this in LA, but we have a bunch of Nike bikes that you can rent that tourists will like rent and ride around Portland.
Oh, cool.
It's kind of similar to like the bird same thing, but it's a bike. And the person was like, it's so funny seeing the tourists ride the Nike bikes that were used in the naked bike ride. The night before. Like, oh shit, someone's asshole.
And you know they don't wash those shits.
Hell no. And also, like, people in Portland stinky. So stinky.
Stinky
so
hippies.
Stinky is a great word.
I love the word stinky.
Yeah, especially if you use it like dead serious, like, oh, it's stinky in here.
Or,
oh wow, so stinky.
Or when SpongeBob was like, Patrick, do you know what this is? And he goes, stinky.
Stinky. Why does the way he says stinky, it's so fucking funny.
I'm glad we all quote SpongeBob until we're fucking 49. I plan on dying by then.
Then we stop.
Yeah. 50th birthday, no more SpongeBob. Okay.
That's so fucking funny.
The last question is the most important, and it is, what is your favorite thing about me?
You know, I'm sure that also, like my favorite actor, has evolved over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, and I think about this a lot actually, is it's kind of what we were like talking about earlier on the roof. Whenever I'm around you, I get filled with such positive energy. Like, you energize me in a very exciting, like, positive way. And I love that. That says a lot about who you are.
Okay, I will cry if you want me to.
I agree. That's so true, though. It's always a good time with Melanie. She's so fucking funny, and I love talking to her.
Yeah. Yeah, like, she, like, helped me, like, memorize my lines earlier, and, like, she spent, like, two or three hours doing it with me, and she was just so happy to be there helping me memorize my lines, and it made me memorize better.
Aww. I love doing it. It's so fun.
Yeah, she's good at it, yeah.
That was really nice. I needed that. Thank you. We can leave.
Okay, bye.
Well, thank you for being our first fucking guest.
Oh, really? First guest?
Yeah.
Thank you for being a fucking cool hottie.
Sure.
We only allow cool hotties.
Cool hotties.
Happy
only.
To be here. Yeah. What a great club to be in.
His Instagram is at Jeremy Ford. Let us know if you like Fear Street movies. Check out Way Down Bundy coming out May 15th, 2022. Make it May 15th, 2023.
Okay. It's gotta be like a little later in the summer.
Okay.
Yeah, you want
June
July.
20, July 22nd.
Okay. Is that a Friday?
Sure. We probably all won't be here anymore, so.
That's true.
Yeah.
The big loser in the sky is gonna.
The aliens will be.
Far on us with a
fish. With a fish.
Yeah.
Hooray.
I hope he does. Well, thanks, Jer. Love you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I was so happy to come and talk to you.
Okay, guys. Love you, I guess.
I love you, stupid
Stinky
idiots.
Babies.